Straight from South Africa.
This is the strange and mysterious world with your hosts, Lee Straighten and William Pollinson.
All right, well, welcome to season one, episode 27 of Strange and Mysterious World. Okay, so a little late in the show, we've got Debbie Fox coming in for Feng Shui. William, you've got a midlife crisis. You've gone and bought yourself a skateboard.
I don't know you're going to bring it up.
That's great, man. So you're 40 now and you're still skateboarding. That's awesome.
No. Well, the thing is, I don't know what's like, yeah. You know, some people run off with another woman or they change their job, career, whatever. I went and I've gone and bought a skateboard. So I'm turning 40 this year. And for some reason, I used to skate when I was young and I was actually very good at it. And I was actually like, had a partial sponsorship from a skate shop when I was living in Pietermaritzburg. And
did you live in PMB?
Yeah, I lived in Pietermaritzburg, yeah.
I didn't know that.
How
long were you living there?
My whole family comes from there. And I went to St. Charles for 2 years, but I got expelled.
I can imagine why.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was at a school I was at Clifton, Nottingham Road.
Oh, yes.
And then I got expelled from there.
As well.
that's in KwaZulu Natal, yeah. So I got expelled from there. And then it was in Standard 5. It was halfway through Standard 5. So I had to find another school that could accept me to get to the end of Standard 5 so I could get into high school somewhere.
Yeah.
So I ended up in Howick High.
Okay.
Right? So I went to Howick High for like 6 months just so I could finish preschool. What is it? Preschool? What do you call it? Junior school.
Primary school.
And then my friend, it's funny because we got expelled together, me and my friend. and he got expelled and no school would accept him except for this all-girls school.
all-girls school, one guy going to the all-girls school.
I know, dude, what a paradise, dude. And you know, in South Africa, we have to wear uniforms. So,
you
know, all these girls are in their skirts and shit and he's in his civvies. He's just in his jeans and his skateboard shoes and his...
So did they allow him to go to girls school?
Yeah, because his mother knew the principal very well. And See, the thing is, we both had to get we had to finish what do you call it?
Primary school.
We had to finish primary school to get into high school. So I got into Howick High because my aunt knew the principal well.
Yeah. And but why didn't you just go with your friend to the girls' school?
I know. I knew things, we weren't allowed to talk to each other like afterwards because we were like banned from each other. So we got expelled. So the only time later on, how crazy is this? So then I went to St. Charles. I got expelled from St. Charles 2 years into the school.
Yeah.
So I finished Howick High, then I went to St. Charles, and then I got expelled from it 2 years in. And then I went to a Waldorf school and I went to all of this thing and I ended up in this art school in Johannesburg 2 years at the end because like it was a school you just could do art. You didn't have to do
Awesome. I would have loved to have gone to that school.
We just sat on the field and just smoked weed and went and painted and did sculptures and shit. But the funny thing is that he ended up at the same school but doing music because there was a music department, there was an art department, there was a ballet department, there was an acting department. So, like, through all of our things, we went out of our own ways and we weren't allowed to talk to each other. And then we end up in the same school for the last 2 years of schooling. And then he got expelled from that school, but I made it through. I got through.
Why did you guys get expelled in the first place?
Oh, geez. The first one we were experimenting with smoking marijuana.
Oh, shit.
And then my aunt found us in this. And because we were at Clifton, Nottingham Road. It's a boarding school there. My parents were living in Madagascar at the time. So I would go home to my aunt's house on the weekends. And, you know, we went to skateboarding and we were smoking. We watched this movie called Kids and they were smoking weed. And I mean, we were like in standard five. What, how old are you in standard five?
Yeah, just 13, maybe 14.
Yeah. So we started experimenting, and then my aunt caught us in the little room outside smoking the weed. So she goes and she tells the school. How crazy is this?
She told the school, your aunt.
Yeah, she told the school. So we got expelled.
Shit. So it's because of your aunt.
Yeah, but then the thing is, then I ended up staying at her house because my parents are in Madagascar, so I ended up living with her, and she locked me in the study at night time because she thought I'd go out and smoke weed in the garden or something or run away or whatever. So I'd be locked, had to go have a wee, make sure I had a wee first, and then like get locked in the study.
That's child abuse, bud. Is your aunt still alive?
Yeah, she is.
Hey?
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
That's bad, man.
And then so she gets me into Howard High because she knew the principal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then St. Charles, it was like I was just bunking school and I was like, and they were just trying to get rid of me. I wasn't interested in anything at school. So they just
they pushed you through.
A lot of mischief and stuff. So they were just like, no, I had enough of this. You gotta.
Yeah, you're like my wife. She was also expelled from school.
Is it? It's rare for a girl to get expelled.
She was naughty.
Jeez, what? Wow. Turn on microphones, give me a bit
She used to bunk like all the time, man.
Yeah, geez, I used to bunk all the time, man. Jeez.
I was in boarding school, so there was no ways to bunk. All the teachers knew where you were, so.
Yeah, but that's, then I got put into boarding school because I was causing so much trouble. They said, the principal said, no, you got to put this guy into boarding school because it'll sort him out. They put me in boarding school and only like a few months later, I got expelled, so it didn't really work. So I got a skateboard and now I'm going through a midlife crisis. So
we had a long journey off the topic from skateboarding, but okay. So you got a sponsorship from a skateboard or a surf company.
It was half surf, half skate shop. It was called Sidewalk Surfer. Yeah. In Pietermaritzburg there.
Okay. That's awesome, man. And did they sponsor you like money or was it just like skating? No, it was just stuff.
I got equipment for like free and stuff and shoes and stuff like that. Right.
Competitions and stuff that you intern. How did you do?
No, well, that's the thing. Like, it was just around town. Like I was known as like a really good skateboarder. So there was no competitions. They did build a skate park eventually in Durban there. And still then me there. And my buddy, and me and my buddy used to hitchhike there to go and skate there. Uh-huh. And then the one time we got really robbed badly, we were hitchhiking, right? And we were like really stoned, like, and we got halfway to Durban. And then the guy that we were hitchhiking with, him and his girlfriend, we're like, we're turning off here on this off ramp. You're going to have to hitch the rest of the way. So we got out and we're busy walking. Now we're stoned. So like we are very high. And my friend keeps on looking over his shoulder and he's like, he says, they're coming. There's a whole bunch of guys behind us. So I look behind us and there's a bunch of like kids, like maybe like 12 kids, like our age, but or maybe a bit older, but they were far behind us. And we keep on walking. We've got our skateboards under our shoulders and we walking. And then he keeps looking behind him and he's like, I think he's getting paranoid because he's high. And he's like, they're coming closer. They're running. So I look behind me and these guys are running now.
Towards you.
Running up to, yeah, so we start sprinting. And then there's this bank, right? There's this bank. We're so stupid. We should have stayed on the road, but we jump down this bank and we run. And there's actually like a squatter camp like down there. Now we're running. We don't even know we're running. We're just running down this bank. And then we look behind us and we just see like these 15 guys just jumping over the thing, just coming down this little like hill thing like after us. And then we just surrender, you know, and they jump on us, dude. Like I promise you, I was like in the air because there was a guy pulling every leg, every arm. Like I was in the air like a starfish with them pulling me in every direction.
Like they torture the horses in the Westerns.
Yeah, like I wasn't even on the ground. I was in the air. This is how much they were just fucking just ripping everything off of me. My shirt, my shoes. The one guy was feeling in my pants, like he was feeling my balls, like, and I thought, oh my God, I was like, fuck, we're getting raped. I was like, oh my gosh, we're getting raped. This is all I could think of. I was like, oh fuck, we're getting raped. And then they just dropped us and they left us there with just like, we didn't have any shoes anymore. They took our shoes and our jerseys and everything. Just like a t-shirt and our pants and our skateboards, everything was gone. Like money. There was no cell phones in those days. So, but we had nothing. We just, not even shoes. And then we had to walk up the bank to the road, hitchhiked. Got into Durban, found somebody to give us money because it was payphones then. And luckily we knew and all the numbers were in our heads then. You know, if I got robbed now on my cell phone, I wouldn't be able to call anybody because I don't know anybody's phone number off by heart. Then we bummed some money off someone, phoned my mother and she came and picked us up. But that was,
Jeez.
Anyway.
Okay. All the pleasures of living in South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, shame, I actually speak to him now. He lives in Ireland, but he got stabbed like 6 times in the back, and his lung got punctured. And I remember he was in the hospital with this drip bag, also with a muggy, you know, another robbing. And like he was
South Africa as well.
Yeah, in South Africa. Okay. We all smoking then, because you know, when we were kids, it was cool to smoke. So we were smoking. I remember in the hospital, he had this drip bag there, draining the blood out of his lung, and he would take it outside of the hospital and he would have a cigarette, and then like we would watch the drip bag fill up with smoke while he dragged on a cigarette. The bag would go full of smoke and then cut. And I'm just thinking, this can't be good.
And then what happened after that? So you just kind of, your skating career ended.
Yeah, well then I got into that art school in Joburg, and then we just sat around smoking weed on the field all day and then going to art class. And I just kind of think it was the days of the raving, and you know, we'd all go on, you know, we were just into partying, you know, it was that stage of our lives, and I kind of, the skateboarding just went into the background.
So tell me,
but I'm back, man. I'm back. Yeah. I got my skateboard.
Yeah, I got you. Is your skateboard full of stickers yet, or is it still like just plain?
No, it's just still plain.
Shit, that's actually pretty cool. But skateboarding and surfing is very similar.
Yeah, I suppose that when I started surfing and I got here in Cape Town, I picked it up quite quickly. Even when I went snowboarding in America, like I picked it up very quickly, and then even the instructor was like quite impressed. He was like, "Wow, I've never seen someone just learn how to snowboard so quickly."
Yeah, it's very similar. I know there was a movie that came out in the 80s. It was a true story. It was based on the guys that actually surfed, and they were the ones that started doing all the swimming pool skating.
Oh,
like you'd empty all the swimming pools, and then they would like skate in the swimming pools.
Okay.
I can't remember. It was a movie. It was based on a true story, but they were the ones that actually came up with the whole skateboarding thing. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
And they would do that. They would do that in the winter and then surf in the summer.
Yes, because that's what I've been doing now. When it's bad, when the waves are shit, I'm skateboarding now, and it's great exercise. I mean, geez, like 20 minutes of skateboarding, I'm like finished. Like I'm sweating. It's even more, you know, more exercise in the surfing, and then when it's a great, when the waves are good, then I'll go and surf.
Yeah,
so it's good intermediate to keep exercise fit and have fun.
And you're surfing, and have you entered any competitions, or is it just like a
no, I'm not that good surfing. It's just, I mean, I don't take it that seriously. It's just for fun and exercise, and to hang out with my one friend is always fun. I've been watching on HBO, on Showmax, because Showmax here in South Africa is all HBO shows mainly. But HBO, there's this thing about big wave surfing, like
in Hawaii and in Cape Town,
or Nazaré in Portugal, the biggest wave that there is, how it was found, and the whole history of it. I mean, it sounds lame talking about it, but geez, I mean, you must watch it. It is so amazing, and it's so exciting, and she's watching these guys and just putting their lives on the line, and how just their lives and the whole thing around it and how they found it is just really inspiring and amazing.
But I've seen those ones, those series where the guys are surfing down 60-foot waves. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, this is like 80-foot waves.
Jeez. Yeah, that's like the crashes on you, you stuff, dude. That's it, you're gone.
Yeah, I mean, you must check this guy. He shatters his shoulder just from falling off on hitting the water so fast. It just smashes his shoulder. The other guy almost becomes paralyzed. Like there's like almost a drowning all the time. The guy's like washing up on the shore, like everyone's trying to save him.
But that's like, I don't know. There's some people in this world that seem to be almost immune to the fear. I mean, I would never go out. I would look at that and say, there's no chance in hell that I would actually ever do that. Never.
I mean, geez, when it's here in Cape Town, when someone's got out and it's like, you know, 6 foot.
Yeah.
And that's like only 6 foot, 6 or 8 foot. I still get scared. I'm just like, geez, that's quite, you know, and I get held under quite long, you know, and sometimes I panic and I'm like, because I'm getting held under for so long and I don't know which way is up or down or that, if it's like a big wipeout on a big wave. And then I'm panicking. But the thing actually with surfing has actually taught me my biggest lesson.
Yeah.
Well, one of my biggest lessons, I was like, because I was getting held under for so long under this wave once, when I was panicking and I was like, I was just going panicking. And then like, I suddenly just like surrendered. And then the wave stopped. And when I came up, I just realized, I was like, the wave is going to stop. It can't go longer than like 1 minute, the wave tumbling or whatever. And like, I've just got to surrender and not panic, because then I'll lose my breath quicker, you know, but it's just relating it to life. I just was like thinking when I was in the water there, I was like, geez, that's like everything in life. If I'm going through like an extremely stressful, horrible time, I can't panic, because then I won't get through the situation. Like, I will lose my stamina and my ability to think properly and to cope with it. And if I just surrender to it and just like, then I'll be able to get through it a lot quicker and a lot with a better mindset and everything. And it was exactly like that time when I was under the water and thought I was going to drown, because the panicking doesn't help. It just makes you actually will drown, because like because if I'm panicking, I can hold my breath for maybe 15 seconds, but if I'm not panicking, I can just sit there and just be tumbled around with the wave for like a minute.
Yeah.
And the wave will end eventually. And the same with life. All your worries, your fear, whatever you're going through will end. It does come to an end. So it's no use like panicking, because you're just going to fuck it up. You're just not going to get through it in as quickly, and you're going to run out of stamina, and you're going to run out of everything that you've got because you're panicking.
Yeah.
And I remember with that day in the water, when I came up with that. I mean, it sounds like so like straightforward, but when I came, she realized that, it was quite an epiphany to me. And I was like, wow, okay. That's so now when I'm in a special situation, I just try and be as calm as possible and just know that it's going to end sometime.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, okay. Well, that's actually pretty cool, man. Now, so what do you know about Feng Shui, dude?
Jeez, I've just got a very basic.
Basic, yeah. I
mean, like the way you set your stuff in the room, like has an energy flow and, basically that.
But no one really thinks about that stuff when you've got a home. You know what I mean? You put what you think looks nice in there as you enter the house, photos and whatever. You try and make your house look nice and neat. But there's apparently, and hopefully Mrs. Fox will tell us, but I know there's something to do with water. Water, you've got to have, I think, facing, it's got to be at the back door, not in the front door. You've got to have things facing this way and not that way. And it's quite a... It's quite an art. It's quite a science.
Yeah. I mean, when I walk into somewhere, like, I mean, obviously everyone has this experience. You can feel that the place is nice, you know, like you can feel there's a good energy or there's something like that draws you, or like you feel comfortable there. But I never understand if it's just because aesthetically it looks nice and it's like pleasing the way that it looks to me or whatever my taste is, or if there's actually like kind of, and I'm sure there is. I mean, of course there is. There's metaphysical things to everything, but. But I do also know in my house, like when I first move in, you know, like I put stuff a certain way and then it doesn't kind of gel right. And then I start moving it around until I kind of like it settles to where I feel like, okay, well now it's actually working. And I'm sure that's got to do with the energy thing that we don't know because we're not taught about it, but there's something to do with that. Obviously that energy in the room or how it's moving or whatever.
Yeah. That's actually pretty interesting. But I think also there's a lot to do with the people that live in the house. I mean, if there's good energy around those people, when you enter a house, you can feel that energy. It's a good energy. But if you're going into a house where the people are always fighting with each other, kids always screaming and shouting and swearing at each other, you can feel it. When you go into a house, you can actually feel that, like almost like a negative. And you stay for an hour in the bra, then you leave.
Yeah.
You already started brining it. You're like, hey, you guys, I've got to go now, man.
I've had that experience and I rocked up at a friend's house before him and his wife had a huge fight, and it was very uncomfortable therefore. So welcome Debbie, thank you for coming on here today,
and thank you so much for
thanks me. So well, our whole theme for the podcast is Feng Shui. And we would just like to be educated.
Yeah.
What is Feng Shui?
Yeah, and besides that, why is it important to have Feng Shui in your house?
Okay. Well, what Feng Shui is, it means wind and water, which basically covers the oxygen and the air that's the air we breathe and the water that we drink. So that's what the planet is made up of. Obviously, it's made up of matter and everything. But Feng Shui is about the the placement, the adjustment, the looking at energies that are in a particular building and seeing through various different schools of thought on what those energies are doing in the property, in the house or the office or the factory or whatever you're in, to see how it's actually making a difference to you. So instead of you having to argue and fight with the house, unconsciously, of course, all those things are evened out, and you also have an idea of what they are so that you can actually consciously work with it so that it's not going to cause any problem for you, if that makes sense. And why is it useful? A lot of people have a lot of difficulties in a particular building. So if you can actually sort out the difficulties that the building is having, then you have a better time yourself.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
All right. So then I'm assuming, because you're saying that, I mean, the human body is 70% water, the earth is 70% water. So I'm assuming water is probably the prevalent energy that we have. So is there certain areas that you should not have water if you're in a building or in a house that would work for benefit of someone? Yeah. So where would you put water and where wouldn't you put water?
All depends. You can put water in the southwest. That's one of the areas that you absolutely can. You can put water in the east and you can put water in the northwest. But it depends on the chart of your house, because each house or each building has a different chart layout. It's almost like an astrological chart for the building. So depending on what energies are where, that's just a general thing. The most general is the southwest, the east. Yeah, I would stick with those two. And you can't go too far wrong. Each year, depending where the nine is, you can put water there as well, but also depending on the chart as well.
Okay. I was reading somewhere I can't remember, this is many years ago, but I was reading somewhere about water should never be, I might be completely wrong, but water should never be in an entrance. It should always be in an exit. I don't know. That might have been just something maybe misread.
Yeah, it depends. Once again, it depends. And I'm being very vague here, but it all depends on the chart. And if your entrance has got a good energy there, like a nine, which is what the prevalent power is at the moment, we're in the nine period.
Yeah.
And if the nine is there and it's not the south, as long as it's not the south, because the south will cause trouble. But if it's, say, it's the southwest, you can absolutely have water there. Absolutely. Okay. So it'll be very beneficial.
You talk about nine as like on a clock. So if you're looking at the watch hands, you talk about the direction of nine.
Yes, the direction. So in other words, how we work is I'm describing to you the what we call the flying star method. It's almost like an astrological method for working out buildings, plotting out buildings as energies.
Okay.
So we're in the nine period now. So depending where the nine is, and at the moment this year we're in the 4, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's in the southwest. So you'd put water in the southwest this year, but it lives in the south, so you can't put water there. I'm sorry, it's making it quite difficult here.
Okay.
So tell us. So you're a feng shui like consultant. Right. So what, just tell us exactly how the process works. If someone phones you up, they say like, I need some feng shui at my house. Like how does it work? How do you go about doing it? What would you do? Like if you could just describe the whole process.
Well, when somebody phones, they're usually looking for help on some level. Usually it's, they have financial issues or they have relationship issues or they have, health issues. So for me to do an appointment, I ask for their birthdays, their times of birth. I get an address. I get the plan. I have to have a plan of the building. If it's an office block, I have that as well. And then I basically go in and speak with them. And then I do a chart, this flying star chart. I also look at a few other things as like Batsa that I'm learning to do, which is like an astrology thing. I look at all where the energies are in the building, see where they're sleeping or where they're working, and then move people or change things so that they're sitting in their best direction, because everybody's got their own best areas that they can sit in or work in or sleep in. And some areas will not make people healthy, and some areas will make people argue, and some areas will make you go bankrupt, actually. So if you've got the wrong energy at your front door, you can definitely have a problem. Yeah.
But
geez, now you're making me quite like paranoid.
you got a cuck ton of cuck energy in your question.
No, it's not so cut and dry.
I'm in the right place. I don't want to go bankrupt.
No, if you've got the wrong energy, just think of it like this. Think about, I'm sure you've seen shops where the one person moves in and then they go bankrupt, and then the next person moves in and they go bankrupt. You know, it's not the people are stupid. It's because the building itself has not got good energy.
Well, that's funny because I used to live near Rivonia Square in Johannesburg, and that shopping center there, Rivonia Square, every single time, all of the shops actually would never last. It's like it was always empty. It was the weirdest thing. And it's such a good area. You know, you'd think it would be booming.
It's probably got the wrong energy at the front door. Yeah.
Mm. I want to ask you a question.
We have the same at Heritage Market in Hillcrest. Sorry.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question. This might be a little bit out of your scope, but you kind of know about entities, poltergeists, those kind of things. So would feng shui have an impact on this sort of thing? So if, like, for example, now William was saying that in Rivonia now you've got that building that's kind of always derelict. It's like never full. It's always
empty. Used to think it's haunted. Exactly, yeah,
but that's exactly it. So would this attract perhaps negative entities or negative energy to those areas?
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. That's actually very interesting.
Because what I forgot to add is also sometimes is when I'm doing a consultation, I'll also check what we call geopathic stress, which is underground water, ley lines, Wi-Fi, power lines, all those kind of like electromagnetic things.
Yeah.
It'll make them sick. They can't work properly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I also look at what the energies of the place feel like, because you ask about poltergeists and ghosts and things, and they definitely make energy not nice.
Yeah.
And then there's another piece that I've come across a lot, and we only think it happens in South Africa, but it does happen elsewhere, is people put muti on other people. So that's also, and also if they don't put muti, they put bad thoughts on other people. It comes up as like that's an entity. So you've got to like clear those entities too. You've got to clear everything so these people can function, especially if they don't know. Once they start knowing and you can show them how to do it, or they can get help and then they can get on their feet again, then obviously they've got the strength to carry on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think those negative energies that you're mentioning with the muti and those kind of things that the guys, it's kind of for our overseas people, it's more like a witchcraft type thing where people put bad energies or send evil spirits to people's houses and that. But we've come across that in our podcasts, and we call them thought forms.
Thought forms, exactly.
A whole tulpa. And to get rid of that tulpa, geez, that could be quite a thing to do. But so you get rid of all those kind of things.
No, I don't do that. No. I can't. I don't. No, I'm too scared. But I do have people that do it. I've got a guy in Johannesburg that does that for me. Yeah, he does all the muti and all the really terrible stuff. Yeah, I can do a little bit of the geopathic, but underground water, I get a guy in England. He does the clearing for that. He's brilliant. Yeah, he also does clearing of that, because that makes people sick as well. It makes the building feel cold. It makes it feel horrible, uncomfortable. People can't work.
Okay.
Can't sleep. Can't sleep is the worst thing, actually. Yeah. Then they get sick, you know.
So can you sense it? Can you sense it? How do you measure those things? Or how do you work it out?
Yeah. Well, everybody can sense it, actually. I use dowsing rods. But if I say find what a ley line, I don't know if you know what a ley line is. It's a line running across the earth. Yeah. So I deal with the ones that are not so nice. You get the really nice ones that are at the cathedrals and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But I deal with the ones that make you sick, especially when you've got Wi-Fi and stuff like that added to it. But when I find it, I always ask my clients to feel it. And 95% of people can feel it. So everybody can feel it. We're just not tuning into that particular frequency. Mm. So when people, they go, oh, no, I can't feel this. I go, just take a breath. It's not a test. Just feel. And then they feel it. And they go, it's all in my mind. I go, no, it's not. I can feel it too. So everybody can feel it.
But that's why they contacted you, because they can actually feel it, because it's because it's bugging them, you know. So
they're not conscious of it.
Yeah.
Well, some people don't know. They just everything's going wrong in their life, and they're just like, "Hey, man, what the hell's? Please, I need some help."
Yeah. Geez, man.
Exactly, and they know they need help, but they don't know what it is. What's causing the problem? You know what I'm saying? So when they see that, and you can fix it, they go, "Oh, okay, that's great." Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's
so sorry, we didn't finish like the whole process of.
Oh yeah, sorry, we got sidetracked.
You whip out the dowsing rods. Like, what do you do next when somebody calls you?
Well, the dowsing rod. Yeah.
So the dowsing rod, I'm assuming you're using for water. You're trying to find water. That's the dowsing rod.
You can use a dowsing rod for anything.
Yeah. Okay.
You can use a dowsing rod for anything, literally.
Yeah, you can just ask questions like.
Okay, because I know most of the guys use it to find water.
No, you can use it
use it to find
tool.
Water.
Okay.
It's a divining tool. So, yeah, so you can use it to measure somebody's body, how big their aura is. You can use it to find water. You can use it to find ley lines. You can use it to check if there's a ghost in the house, because it's really just an extension of you. You know, you're just using a tool that your own self knows anyway.
Yeah.
So the tool helps you because the thing opens and closes, so it tells you yes or no, so you can feel okay. Now I'm not crazy. It's here, you know.
It's the same because I use pendulums. I was actually going to ask you the question because I've got a pendulum that I use on occasion, and man, that thing is very good.
Yeah, it's exactly like a pendulum.
Because you can find energies with pendulums. You can find all sorts of stuff with pendulums. So pendulums and dowsing rods would be similar.
Absolutely. The pendulum's just a little bit more easy because it's right in your hand. Yeah. Mm. The pendulum, the dowsing rod's a little bit bigger and more cumbersome. But it's just yourself again who's knows it, and your pendulum's telling you yes, you're right, you know.
Okay.
Or it's here or whatever. Because you do know it. You do know where it is. Yeah.
Okay. So now you've gone into the people's house, you've kind of deciphered where the water's coming from, if there's any underground. You've deciphered that there's a Wi-Fi or tell me, Wi-Fi, before we carry on, Wi-Fi as in, what's your thoughts of 5G?
I've heard really terrible things about it, to be honest with you. So I don't really, look, I haven't read any papers. But just to talk about general Wi-Fi, never mind going to 5, it's not really good for us. We really, people ought to be putting it off at night when they're sleeping. But most people don't want to because they're trying to wait for the children, and I say, well, at least have it a long way away from you, the router, so you're not, you know, it's not in your right in your space, because it definitely messes up the body.
Okay.
People make having their phones too close to their on their side tables.
So what distance should it be?
In the bathroom, at least a wall away from you. You should at least have a wall or be in the cupboard. I would have it at least 2 meters away from me, because if you feel a cell phone, you can feel the frequency of it is at least a meter and a half big, actually.
It's funny, when cell phones first came out, there's actually in the manual with the cell phone, it would have a warning that you shouldn't have the cell phone more than like, I think it was like, like 3 or 4 centimeters away from your head. You weren't actually supposed to put the cell phone on your head. There's actually a warning in the cell phone manual. Even if you go looking online at the safety warnings of a cell phone, you're not actually supposed to put the cell phone on your head. And even in Russia, they take it very seriously. Like, children are not actually allowed to have cell phones until a certain age, and they can't even take cell phones into school classrooms because it's actually a hazard, a health hazard.
Yeah.
And it's just that we've in the Western world have just completely
ignored it
because of ignored it, but it's been blocked.
Yeah, you must see the damage to the brain when they take a video of one of these like a scan through the brain of a child. You must just see that the redness goes from, if the ear is here, it goes all the way through the head like this, because the skull is so soft. But adult, it's only up to sort of like about this point here, the red or the effect in the brain. So, yeah,
that's why I mean,
you're going to realize the damage.
I've noticed when I'm on a cell phone and I'm talking, I feel a lot more agitated when the cell phone's on my head when I'm talking to someone. When I put it onto speaker, I actually don't pace so much when I'm talking on the phone, and I don't feel so agitated. So I always try and not put it on my head. I put it on speaker or put headphones in. And I mean, the one time I was listening on the phone, and there was this funny like vibration noise in my ears, like going like zzz, every time I was trying to listen. So then I was like, it was irritating so much that eventually I put it on speakerphone, and then that whole thing went away.
I get itchy ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I put my phone right next to my ear, my ear itches.
Yeah.
And so I normally just put it on my phone.
I actually can't. I've got so many. Oh, good. Okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah. So, but some people are not worried about it. They can have it right on their ear and they're fine. I don't know if it's lucky or not, you know.
No, I think it's because we Generation X. Well, I don't know if you're Generation X. You're 40, so you might still be Generation X. But Generation Z, which is the 2000s and on, they grew up with this stuff. It's been like in their hands since the age of two.
Yeah.
So for them, the interference that's coming, they don't actually even notice it. They're so oblivious to it, they don't notice it. No. We do, because we came from an era where we didn't have TV up until probably the age of about 16. Mm. We didn't have cell phones. We had bloody connect phones where you had to connect to somebody else down the line. You had to phone them and ask them to connect you. So,
even if you can't feel it, that stuff is not good for you. I mean,
yeah. I think it's important, and people maybe don't understand this, but I think it's important for at least once a month, for a weekend, to get away where there's no cell phone connection, to go out into the mountains. Like, for example, here in the Berg. You go for a weekend out in the Berg, go somewhere where maybe Drakensberg Gardens or one of those places where, you know, you can actually go and hike for the day. There's no cell phone signal. You leave your cell phone in the thing, and you just go out for the day and you connect with Earth again. You kind of almost reestablish yourself. You balance yourself out again before you come back again. And most people, and it's funny enough, even the young guys now, if they go on these camps and they go out for a week, you know, at first they like really, where's my cell phone? I need to be sending, you know, a message to my friend. But when they get back, they're like, geez, we actually prefer to stay here than go back to the normal world, because everything's just bombarded with frequency. And then, as you're saying with Feng Shui, and I'm assuming this actually not only works with buildings, I'm assuming because we 70% water, I'm assuming there must have some sort of effect on the human being itself. So when you're out, there must be some way of feng shuiing yourself so that you can, you know what I mean? You can have a better lifestyle or a better connection with things that are going on around you.
Yeah. What I suggest with people is that when I go and see them most people is that the way you sort yourself out from, if you can't get into the mountain, which obviously is first prize, is to walk around with no shoes on in the grass, because that's immediately you degas your body. And of course you can also take minerals because the Wi-Fi takes the minerals out of your body. It sort of magnetizes it out. And so taking minerals is really good. And then also deworming. People don't understand that deworming is a serious thing. I know it's a funny thing to talk about when we're speaking about feng shui and stuff, but it's a serious thing. People ought to deworm as well. But that helps them to deal with everything, actually. It's a much healthier thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Feng shui is your body.
I did not know that. I don't know.
Feng shui your body, yeah. Because you need to look after your body. People forget. Sure. And lots of things cause problems. Flat points, all the little bits of electricity cause problems.
Okay.
So we still haven't found the whole process of...
Yeah. So sorry, you've kind of gone into a house. Yeah.
Feng Shui,
you got into the house, you've discovered where the water stuff is. Yeah.
I've usually done my chart before then. So I go through my house, I speak with them, see what their problems are, go through the house, I check everybody's bedrooms, I check everything. And then I suggest them what they do. I put crystals down. And then what I'll do is I'll suggest how they can put what we call cures in the feng shui. So we put cures in to balance certain energies out, or I'll tell them, look, this is an area that you really ought to be sitting in because it's really good energy for you. And if you've got a home office, this is the place to sit. So then I would tell people that kind of thing. Or if they have argumentative energy in their bedroom and they are arguing, I will suggest something that will actually change the arguments. Yeah, so I'll do that. And generalists give them ideas of what they can do. So also symbols in a house are important as well. People forget that symbols are, when I say symbols, I'll go to somebody's house and they're wanting a partner. But every picture on the wall's got a grim face, you know, or a girl by them. So it's a girl, a woman looking for a partner. There's a grim picture of a girl on the wall by herself. And there's a few of them. And you go, well, that's not going to make you have a partner because you've got these horrible pictures of single people. Or they're sitting with their backs to the room or something. So I do look at that. It's a very fundamental. It's a fun way. People enjoy that because they've got a handle on what can be done. You know, so put a picture if you're wanting a partner. Put pictures of two people if you have a partner. Put pictures of the two of you having fun together. You know, or a picture of a family, because what you see is what you get. You know, it's very important what you. We forget that what we see is so important. So I look at that kind of thing too, besides just doing the flying stars. And there's tons of stuff in people's houses that, like they'll have, I mean, I'll never forget, I went into a lady's house and I walked into the lounge. It was a huge lounge. I mean, I've never seen a lounge so big. And there was this humongous picture on the wall. And I said, what the hell's that? I actually even said those words. What's that? I said, oh, that's my picture from a painting from my granny. And I couldn't stand my granny and I couldn't stand that picture. I said, what you got it up there for? She said, the wall's so big. And she did. The whole room's energy changed like that because she had such a intenseness towards this picture. It was ruining the picture, ruining the energy of the room. Mm. Just what you were saying just now, Lee, about entities. Mm. It's like you're fixing your own house. Sorry, William, sorry.
I was just saying, wow, that's interesting. But now that we've stopped, I just want to ask you, so how do you sense where this place is that they that the energy is good to sit in or to fart in or
not to fart in.
Okay. I do a flying star chart, they call it. It sort of outlines, it gives you like an astrology chart for the house, and it got little shows you where the planets are sitting in your home. So there's a 2-3. You can absolutely know people are arguing. So you can definitely adjust that. But it just depends on the chart. And obviously, so that needs something to be done. But if you haven't got that, if you haven't got somebody to come and do that, it's like a flying star chart and tell you where all the arguments are. Look at the paintings. Look at what's in the room. Look at what's causing discomfort. Because there's some things that are just not nice. And check if there's a picture of somebody you don't like or an auntie or an uncle, or if you've got a lot of junk and you're always irritated by the junk whenever you go in that room there, and then you meet up with your wife or your husband and you take it out on them because of the junk. You know, so there's a whole lot of different things that can cause. The easiest for me is to see on pictures. this flying star chart what actually.
If it's to do with the chart, and it sounds like it's to do with the planets and alignment of certain celestial things and that, then do you have to change your house like every few months or something?
No. Okay. What happens is you do a chart for your house or the office or whatever. There's a chart that sits with that property while you're living there, if it's a house. Okay. So just say we deal with a house. You've got a chart. That will be the chart of the house for that particular period of time that you're living in that house. And then you can, I'd set it up for the year or for in as long as you're living there. And then a lot of my clients like me to come back every year and then adjust the house for the yearly charts, which do change. And then there are some people that like to do monthly charts, which I don't really get involved with. But if people are having difficulty, I will look at their charts and say, okay, this is what's happening this month. So really you need to adjust that. I generally just do yearly charts and that adjusts the energy for the year.
But I'm assuming the shift for a year can't be that much. It's probably maybe a half a meter off from where it was previously.
No, it's not shifting anything. No, the chart stays the same. It's just who flies in there. So just say you've got a front door that's got a very nice energy there. Say it's an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
And then the next year, it won't be the 8 one, but anyway, some nice energy. The following year, a 5 falls. Just say you've got a 4 there. Then the next year, the 3 comes in, say.
Okay.
And then you've got people arguing. If somebody robs you, you just think, what happened, yeah, but the three has moved in. The three is about arguments and can be robbery as well. Somebody takes some money of yours or takes something of yours. So it can be that way.
So, okay. Sorry, these numbers, what so are these numbers? When you're referring to these numbers, what are the numbers?
The numbers indicate the elements. So you got fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And each of those elements have got a number. So you've got, yeah, so and those elements, so those elements are what makes up feng shui. So,
okay. So how do you know what is a number when you look, you say the doors are nine? How do you know that the doors are nine, or how does that work?
Because I've done a chart. I've done like a little chart that tells me where everything is.
I mean, that's it just also gives you another, you know, when you go buy a house, how important it is to have a feng shui person or someone there that can actually check the house out before you buy it, you know, to make sure that it's everything's kosher. What do you would like?
Now, what I want to find out from you, how do you figure out when a nine is, when a three is, when it's a seven? How do you figure that out? Because you've got that old chart, but how do you know when to...
Okay, it's derived from the depends if it's a just two houses. When you move into the house, that's the date that's the date you use, and then you use the direction the building faces.
Okay,
and you do this calculation. Well, I don't do it anymore. I use the calculator, and it just works that whole thing out. And you just place it onto the chart, and onto the plan, and it gives you the chart, and you can see exactly where everything is putting. Okay. Then you can help people with that.
Sure. So is there a way to bypass everything? Just say if you like do these crystal griddings like in your house where you just grid the ceiling with certain crystal, sacred geometry kind of like things, can it like protect you against all of that stuff so that it's just a completely like isolated from any strange, like what you showed us there with that grid, will it just bypass everything there? Because now you've got this protective like gridding around your house.
I suppose you could do that, but I think the human being or the human condition can actually do it themselves. If you're listening to your intuition, I don't want to take power away from people. It's my worst thing. And it's, we're trying to, instead of having too many things that we have to use to help us to get through, rather we use our own intuition and we work on ourselves so we know what is potting or we don't get affected by these things. And if we are affected and we really can't work it out, then you call somebody like myself. But people can work things out. Otherwise, I don't want people to be afraid of things. It's because, I mean, everybody lives in houses and not much happens, you know.
Yes, sure, yeah. Because like talking to you now, I'm like, geez, I've got to get Debbie here. I'm going to fly out from Durban. It's going to come sort up my house here.
No. Don't. I don't. I'm giving you the worst case scenarios. I mean, I did give you some nice things that were the studying area, and there's good for that's romance. You can tell them you don't have an affair. You can have a look at all of that. So you can just adjust it. But people need to take responsibility for themselves and their own. Because people are powerful themselves. You know, we don't have to always have somebody else help us. I think it's when we get really stuck that we actually need to. Does that make sense? I don't want to make it sound like you have to have a.
Yeah, the problem is most people don't know that they have the ability within themselves. Most people think, you know, they're useless or, you know, they kind of form part of society and they just don't know enough. They don't know. Very few people know what we actually are, what we can do.
Yeah, but I think it also helps. Because maybe you are powerful and maybe you are sitting in the wrong side of your house the whole time when you work and you're powerful enough to stop the energy or whatever, but it's draining you. I'm sure it's draining you somehow and it's like affecting you.
Exactly.
Then you don't know. And then it's helpful to get someone in and they just say like, no, just go sit on that side of the room and it'll be better. And then things will flow better. So I think it's pretty powerful, even though we are powerful and whatever, it does help.
Mm. And how busy are you?
Look, it does. I'm very busy at the moment. Yeah, sometimes I'm not busy. It goes like normal businesses, but I'm very busy at the moment. Yesterday, I went to a house that a client had, and they wanted to move in there. They were desperate to get in there because they had to get out of this other factory, and they were like, had to go. Then I went, ooh, not good. I mean, I worked them around to it, and, you know, I just showed them why they couldn't do it, you know, and then they go, oh, no, you're quite, no, okay. So everybody's happy about it. I didn't just go, nah. So, but then it was a relief for them because they could, you know, we were trying to force ourselves in here. We felt it didn't work, but we're going to force ourselves in here. So just having somebody on the outside go, no, your intuition was right. It's helpful. Yeah. It's very helpful.
When people,
when your intuition is not working.
Yeah. Do you think architects or people that are building houses or going to on sites, I mean, shouldn't they be consulting people like you before they even erect a building?
Or
like,
they should, or
even,
actually.
They actually, even before they plan a building?
It might have changed, but when I, most, and it actually has changed, the younger ones are pretty open. But I mean, the older ones, I go to meetings with the client and the papers and everything, and they look at me. Well, I remember one guy looked at me like I just walked out of a very smelly piece of cheese, you know. So
I
wasn't going to listen at all.
I've studied for like 6 years to get this degree of how to plan a house. I'm not going to listen to
seven,
you.
Darling, seven.
What William was saying is that they should be calling people like you in to say, okay, look, this is,
yes,
this is where you should be having, yeah, this is what should be doing, and then go from there.
Some, you see, if it's architects listening to their intuition, I've been into places and I just go, what made you do this? Oh, no, I just felt right. And then that, and so I, whenever I'm doing a house for somebody who's building a house, I say, look, just get the architect. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just tell the architect to build, to do the drawing, because then they use their intuition. I'm going to be being in their ear. You can't do this. You can't do that. And then if the architect is really listening to their inner guidance, they'll do the house perfectly. I might have to just suggest a couple of little adjustments, but that's what I like. You know, if you just let people do the thing. Yes, but most architects, you just go in and you go, oh, why did you do this? You know, so anyway, you were saying you don't sleep properly or something, sorry?
No, I wasn't sleeping properly like in my room. And then someone suggested, no, because your head's in the south and your head should always be in the east when you sleep. And I was thinking, geez, but if I put my head by the east, then I've got to move my bed like right against the sliding door and I can't open the sliding door. Like, so what do I do now?
Put in the cupboard.
If you're not sleeping well, then you could have a geopathic line there. You could have a plug point behind your head. You know, there could be a number of things.
I mean, it's inspired me so much. I'm going to go and find someone around this area to come and check my house out.
Yeah. Well, if you just call me whenever you got
a Zoom call,
we can just walk through your bedroom and I'll tell you what's your bedroom, because I can feel through you what's potting. So I can do that.
Okay. So it's also a very intuitive kind of thing, as well as the graphs and the charts and the dowsing rods. I know the dowsing rods are an intuitive tool anyway, but I'm just saying, so it's also like a lot of feeling, like intuitively with yourself. It's quite interesting, yeah.
How many times have you been overseas for this? How many times have people said, hey, listen, come across, they've flown you over, or you know what I mean? How many times has that happened to you?
In the old days, I went to India a couple of times, I went to Dubai, you know, because my clients would send me there, but now they've realized that I can do it from a distance, so I don't go anymore.
So now they're lazy.
Fortunately.
You should have kept quiet about the distance thing. But Debbie, we're just running a little bit out of time here. I was just thinking, what are like the five, if you could give our listeners like five tips, best tips of if they didn't, you know, can't get someone like you to come to their house, what five tips could you give people about feng shui?
I think number one is that they must like where they live. I think that's very important. And if they don't like where they live, then they need to make it as best as possible. I would also suggest that people do their best to not have too much clutter. And if they do get too cluttery, then they must realize that maybe they're getting a bit depressed, and then wake themselves up and tidy everything up and make sure that they're feeling good about that. Okay. One of my biggest things actually is what we've spoken about already, is the Wi-Fi. I would really urge people to put it off, and I would really urge them not to have it in their bedrooms. And I would really urge them, if they've got a plug point behind their head, to put a little crystal of something like a tourmaline, or move the bed away, or put aluminium foil over it, and not to have their heads under a window if they can afford it, if they can get away from that. If people don't have crystals,
no wonder they call us the people with the tinfoil hats, because there was some feng shui lady that got someone to wear a tinfoil hat.
So hold on, you're saying tourmaline. So you can't use quartz crystals, it's got to be tourmaline.
Tourmaline's good. Rose quartz is good. Rose quartz, and also amethyst. But tourmaline's pretty good, because you can use a tiny little piece like this, like this, and it works perfectly on a plug point.
Pinky, so what do you finger. Do? You just put it above the plug point.
And
put it above your head when you're sleeping, or what? Sorry?
You'd stick the plug itself onto the actual plug itself because that blocks the frequency.
Okay, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, it does. It's got like a little, it's got a, what they call a corona of electricity around. It's about 30 centimeters, so it impinges on your head.
I find it so interesting is that I've got this app on my phone for, it was a ghost app. You know these, you know, for ghost hunting when you go look for ghosts and it has like, it has all the EMF frequencies and it's got all, it's you can get like, there's quite a lot of ghosts. And it's funny because I was walking around my house and it started, the thing started going like crazy. And I'm thinking like, what the hell's going on here? And then I found it, the closer I brought it to the plug point, the crazier that EMF thing goes, or I don't know which one it was. There's quite a few like reading things on that app.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was like some serious like electrical interference coming out of the, just a, like a multi-plug. And I was like, geez, a multi-plug's giving off a lot of like craziness here. Like, and it's like, so as you're saying, it's quite interesting that something like that could be affecting you so much. I don't even know that that would be a multi-plug plugged into the wall, obviously, and on. Was causing so much electrical disturbance that my cell phone could pick it up on an app, you know? And so that's interesting, yeah. So you just put some crystals on it.
Yeah, we don't know. I went to a lady's house and she had a one of those Mozzie goodies, and these little Mozzie things that people use.
Yeah.
And she said, she's not sleeping. And I felt the bed. I said, what the hell's going on here? So I said, it must be a plug. So I put the plug off and it had this little Mozzie thing and poof, it's gone. All these little things affect us, actually. It's quite interesting, yeah.
Okay. So everything electrical around the house, you say tourmaline?
Tourmaline's really good for it. Yeah, a little bit of prestick on it. But there's lots of other things. There's tachyons. I mean, yeah, there's tons of things. You can wear things. We have a whole talk about that.
So, but I've got grounding sheets and a grounding pillow that I plug into the earthing of a plug.
It's don't got like lie, man. That's because you wet your bed every night.
I've already went to bed. I've already shocked to death. No, but it's in the earthing thing. But,
apparently, if you wear linen, that's apparently quite good.
Yeah, apparently the vibration of a linen.
Listen, like, any natural.
Because like that's what they in the hospitals they used to put linen like on your bed because it raises your frequency. Apparently, like pure linen, your body frequency helps you heal. Helps you heal quicker. That's if you wear pure linen clothing, your vibration of your body raises and you would be a healthier person. And that's what in hospitals, why they used to have pure linen sheets and stuff in the hospitals. But I don't know if they still
absolutely.
Do
that.
Well, I'm wondering if we shouldn't
and
have...
silk as well.
Yeah. Silk. I wonder if we shouldn't have David back on in a few weeks. We can chat about crystals around the house and on your body and, you know, what you should be wearing to have, because that's a whole new topic. That's no, like that's something great. Completely different to.
I'm not good at crystals, though. I'm not really a crystal person.
Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's like your specific to block out frequencies, to block out negative, to block out Wi-Fi, those kind of things. Things that can help someone in their normal day lives.
Definitely, I'd love that.
Okay, let's do that.
And also, to hear your whole story. I mean, you were telling me on the phone. That was so fascinating of your whole life journey of how you got into feng shui. Maybe we'll have that in another episode.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do another episode. That's 100.
I'd love that. Thank you. Because there's so much. There's so much people can use that will be helpful for them, really. It's a lot. They don't even need any. Yeah, they just need the information. They can do it themselves. Yeah. Look, it's helpful.
All right, cool. Let's do that. Because, we've kind of gone already way past an hour.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah, so that's great. Thank you, man. Thank you very much for your time tonight. And we definitely look forward to seeing you again. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot,
so
man.
Much
appreciated for your time. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
A lot of people don't realize how much bombardment of energy and frequency we have around us.
I know, dude. I'm also scared. I'm like, it's funny. I put my phone on when I'm sleeping on flight mode. I always put it on flight mode every time I sleep, but it's usually just because I don't want to get emails coming in from overseas or you know, I've got so many subscriptions and like freaking Twitter messages I'm sleeping and then my phone's buzzing. It's like, this is the message and it lights up the whole room. So I just put it on flight mode, but I'm going to start turning my Wi-Fi off as well. I'm going to put a crystal on every bloody thing around here, because I'm telling you with that, you must get this ghost hunting app. I mean, when I looked at the frequency coming out of a multi-plug, I was like, oh my gosh. Now I'm going to put crystals on every bloody thing.
So tourmaline crystals for frequency, for energy, electricity.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, I'll go and have a look. I'll see what's around. It's a good idea.
I want to check the ghost busting app and the ghost hunting app and just check when I put the tourmaline on if it's any difference with the frequency.
You should actually film that. So if you've got another cell, have you got two cell phones?
No. I don't. I'm not a drug runner.
Okay, well, I've got two. I've got one that I'm using for filming us now, and then I've got my normal work one.
Ah, is it your burner phone?
Yeah. So the CIA cannot track me, man. Yeah. No, okay, well, that's cool, man. So we must definitely get on for Saturday, and then we can have a part two, talk about how we can safeguard ourselves against negative frequencies, negative energies.
Yeah. There's also a thing, people must check this out on YouTube. There's a thing where you put silver wool, you know, stuff you wash pans with, silver sponge or whatever, silver wool. You put it around your phone and then you ring it. And then apparently sparks come around this thing. I don't know what else you have to do. You might have to do something else. But
I talk about the steel wool.
Yeah, you put it around, go onto steel YouTube wool. And say steel wool around the phone. You put it on the phone. I don't know what else you have to do. And then you phone that phone. And then the steel wool just starts sparking.
Really?
No, I've seen YouTube videos. But I don't know if it's real. I've never done it myself. But it'd be interesting to do it on the show.
Jeez, if it's doing that, then that's bad, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, good, cool. Bye. So then we'll chat to you soon. We'll have a part two chatting with Debbie Fox with regards to how to prevent the negative frequencies in and around home and on us, which would be quite cool. Yeah. So nice, that'll be our next episode. Awesome. So well, thank you again for tonight.
And also by then she'll be having a look around my house and tell me if and it'll be interesting to say what's happened with my house.
Yes, I think when she goes to your front door, she's gonna start finding issues there.
She wants to just hang up.
No, there's too much there, man. I've never seen such a negative house in my life.
Yeah, just burn it down. Just get the matches. Just throw the gasoline. Just get out of there. Burn it down. Burn it to the ground.
Yeah, no, cool. All right, dude. Thanks a lot, man. Okay. And thanks to everybody for listening. We'll chat to you guys soon. Thanks, man.
Okay. Cheers, everyone. Bye.